has given you and me the right to leave him out.
Dr. Tony Evans says if we're smart enough not to do that, the first steps are to stop, drop, and pray.
What prayer does is it calls on God to intervene, but won't do it until requested to do so.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If God already knows what's going on in our lives and knows what He plans to do about it, what's the point of prayer? Dr. Evans has some surprising answers as he takes us to Ephesians chapter 6 for a message he calls Putting on the Armor.
A bodybuilder one day went to Africa. He was doing a tour of Africa. He was one of these hugely buffed guys, and they thought they would entertain the villagers by letting him do profiles of physique. And so he did all of these different turns and twists, and muscles were bulging, and it was quite an impressive performance that this tribe had never seen before, this kind of bodybuilding exposition. After he was completed, the tribal chief said to him, he said, "That really looked good. That was extremely impressive." He said, I don't know that I've seen that many muscles on a man before. He said, "What else do you use all of that for?" To which the bodybuilder, this was his profession, he said, "Well, nothing else." To which the tribal chief said, "What a waste to have all that muscle and not use it. What a waste to have all this armor and not use it." The Apostle Paul has said to the church at Ephesus and to us that your struggle is not against the physical world, verse 12 of chapter 6, flesh and blood. That's where it is expressed. That's not where it's rooted. That's merely where the fruit manifests itself. It's not against the physical world, flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world forces of this darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Whatever is plaguing you today emanates from the spiritual realm. So if you and I do not address the cause, you can't get to the cure. The enemy doesn't want you to know or take seriously that it emanates from the spiritual realm, because then you might address it spiritually. As long as he can keep you dealing with the fruit and bypass the root, he can keep you hostage. Paul says, your wrestle is in another realm. It's in heavenly places. And because your battle is in the spiritual realm, that's where your fight must be. But the good news is he tells you to stand firm, because in that realm, Jesus has already gotten victory. In the spiritual realm, regardless of what you're going through in the physical realm, in the spiritual unseen realm, Jesus Christ has already gotten victory. You are victorious in the invisible, even though you may be thoroughly defeated in the visible. So if you want to be victorious in the physical like you are in the spiritual, you must address the physical spiritually. If you don't address the visible physical spiritually, then you have a victory that you're not experiencing because of how the physical is dominating. One of the toughest things for God to get his people to do is to look at life and live life from the spiritual frame of reference and not from the reference point of the five senses. He has given us equipment with which to do that. He comes to verse 18 in Ephesians 6, and he says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf." I want you to notice how many times the word or a synonym for prayer is used. in that short segment, all prayer and petition, pray, comes to the end of it, petition for all the saints. Beginning of verse 19, and pray. How do you put on the armor? How do you wear what God has given us for victory? How do we grab it, get it, hold on to it? And he tells you in verse 18 and following, he says, the answer is prayer. Now the question is, what is it? We talk about prayer, we speak about it, we do it. But I want to take us a little deeper to make sure we understand it. Because when you understand prayer, it changes that you pray, how you pray, whether you pray, and your expectations having prayed. For far too many people, even Christians, prayer is like the national anthem before a football game or a baseball game. It gets the game started, but has absolutely no relevance to what's happening on the field. It is an exercise in habit. Most of us, for example, when we pray before we eat, really don't need our minds to do that. Because it's going to be the same thing we say every day. Lord, bless this food and nourish it to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us really don't need our minds when we go to bed. If we're tired, you know, bless me, bless my family, give me a good night's sleep, you know, protect me during the night, wake me up tomorrow in Jesus' name. Amen. It is carrying forth an expectation and a routine without meaning. For many of us, prayer is like a spare tire. We want it there in case we really need it. But if we don't need it, long as it's back there somewhere and we can whip it out, particularly in an emergency, then we need it. But I want to explain what Paul wants to explain, which is why he uses it so many times in this verse, coming at the end of this section. Because if you understand prayer in the context of this section, it will change whether you pray and, in fact, how you pray, and it will change what you get when you pray. Simply defined, I would like to define prayer as earthly permission for heavenly interference. Okay? So what he is saying is prayer is the means of contacting the invisible spiritual realm and bring it down to the visible physical realm. And that is the way you engage the armor and put the armor to work. Now, let me tell you what happens when you pray spiritually. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And he wants us to know that the Spirit is at work. He says, let me look at a couple of verses. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth until now. He says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Anybody here ever groan? In other words, because circumstances in life got you going, life is hurting you, and you're groaning, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and redemption of the body. Verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, this is when you're groaning and don't know what to say. It's been got that bad. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints, watch this, according to the will of God. So what he says is when you bring what you know to be the will of God into the presence of God and you are groaning, the Holy Ghost groans with you. And because he knows how deep the problem is, how deep the need is, how bad the attack is, he comes alongside and helps a brother out, helps a sister out, In your weak moment, when you can't make it another day, but you bring spiritually into the presence of God, the Spirit takes over and He lifts you up in a way you cannot lift yourself up, and neither can anybody you know lift you up. So why do you want to pray in the Spirit? You want to pray in the Spirit because He knows the territory. You want to pray in the Spirit because He knows what's happening up there in the invisible realm. He knows what the evil one is doing to you. He's calling you to pray in the Spirit. Let me show you how this thing works, because I think this will help us in our prayer and make prayer more dynamic and more real instead of more rote and more boring. For many of us, prayer is a boring thing because we don't understand what's happening in the invisible. So let me show you Daniel chapter 9. I know we turned into a number of verses today, but I want you to understand this principle so that you and I can experience the power of prayer. Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the book of number of years, which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years, okay? He was reading the Bible and he observed something. He observed what the scripture says, verse 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God. Okay, he read what God said, then he talked to God about it. Okay, so he found out the mind of God, the thoughts of God from the word of God, and then he talked to God about what God said. Okay, now you're praying in the Spirit. Whenever you bring God's stuff back at him, you're praying in the Spirit. So why do you want to study the Bible? Well, one is to know more about God, but the other is to throw God's stuff back up at him. He prays in the Spirit. Okay, now go down to verse 20. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain to my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, that's the angel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness, because he was tired, and the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, "Oh Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding." Wait a minute now. He read the word, then he talked to God about the word he read, then God sent an angel to say, "Let me help you understand some stuff." Because a lot of us could get through what we're going through if we just understood what was going on. But because, like Marvin Gaye, we just want to know what's going on, and we don't know what's really going on, we don't make the connection of what God says and our communication with God. Notice, he didn't send the angel to give him understanding about his situation until he prayed. But he didn't pray until he found out what God had to say. He found out what God had to say. He prayed. God sent the messenger to give him understanding. Look at verse 23. This is going to get good here in a minute. He says in verse 23, "At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, a righteous man, so give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision." All right, now watch this. He says, when you prayed, the command was given for me to come. All right, watch this now. When you prayed, the command was given for me to come. Now turn to chapter 10, verse 10. "Then behold, a hand touched me, set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, 'O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words which I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words.'" Notice, I came because of your words, but your words were tied to God's words. So when you brought your words, hooked them up to God's words, God sent me to talk to you about what you talked to God about. But watch this. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, Michael the archangel, came to help me. For I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to days yet future. All right, let me break this down. He's reading the word, and God says something that grabs him. He's reading the prophet Jeremiah, and the words jump off the page. And he says, well, wait a minute, this applies to me. He then gets on his knees and talks to God about what he just read. So he's now in the spirit because he's bringing God to bear on the situation. Twice it says, on the day you prayed, God sent the answer. See, because there are a lot of people here wondering why God's taking so long. He told Daniel, your prayer was answered the very day you prayed it. Now, why was your prayer answered the day you prayed it? Because you're highly esteemed, you're a righteous man, and you're praying according to the word. When you're a righteous person praying according to the word, it doesn't take long for God to answer your prayer. In fact, he says, God answered it on the same day that you asked it. But there was a 3-week delay. God answered it the same day, but it says it took me 21 days to deliver it to you.
Dr. Evans will give us a closer look at that delivery system when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about your last chance to take advantage of the follow-up book selected especially for our current series. It's called Warfare. Most of what we call problems are really just symptoms of the invisible spiritual battle going on around us. Depression, marriage issues, money trouble, even addiction are often either caused or complicated by the enemy. This book will equip you to see what's really going on and teach you how to claim the victory God has already won for you. We want you to see the change that happens when you fight the right battles with the right weapons. Just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution, and we'll say thanks by sending this powerful resource your way. Along with it, you'll get a special bonus, all 8 full-length CDs in Tony's current series, The Armor of God. Today's the last day this special offer will be available, and we don't want you to miss out. So be sure to visit TonyEvans.org today or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
It was my first time meeting Jesus in the Bible. That's what one student is saying after studying bibliology through the Tony Evans Training Center, taught by renowned theologian Dr. Tony Evans. These online courses feature compelling and exclusive video and audio teaching, plus an interactive scripture-based curriculum you can access online or through the mobile app. Sign up now at TonyEvansTraining.org. Take a course with Dr. Evans and explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere. TonyEvansTraining.org.
Now let me tell you about God's post office. God's got a post office. He got some mailmen. These mailmen called angels, their job is to deliver the answer to you. Everybody's been assigned an angel who's a Christian. If you're a Christian, you've got an angel assigned to you, and that's your personal mailman. And that job, the job of that angel is to deliver God's answers to you. When you, based on the word, communicate with God in prayer as a righteous person, you're just like Elijah, you're calling down from heaven on earth a need that heaven needs to address. But there was a 3-week delay of the angel. Okay, Gabriel, why was there a 3-week delay? There was a 3-week delay because a demon showed up. He says, the prince of Persia. That's a demon because he calls himself as an angel a prince. He says the demon over Persia, which is where you're living, the demon that's hovering around where you're living was there, and he blocked me as I was trying to deliver to you on the same day that you ask it. The demon, you see, unless you know what's happening in the invisible world, all you see is God's not answering my prayer in the visible world. He say, but Daniel, I want you to understand what's going on. This was a demon, and the demon lived where you're living. The demon lived in your neighborhood. The demon lived in Persia, which is where you're living. Just like God has a post office to deliver your answer, hell has a post office to block the delivery. Hell wants to keep the delivery away. So now you got a battle between angels that's stopping you from getting the answer to your prayer. It's not that God hasn't answered your prayer. He answered it the day you prayed your prayer. But because there is a battle in the heavenlies, there is warfare in the spiritual realm, that's why that is the delay. So the question is not, God, why haven't you answered my prayer? It's how do we work out this spiritual warfare so the answer that you've given gets to me? He says, I was coming down, and the demon or the prince of Persia that is set up to block the answer that I was to deliver to you, he blocked me. And we were rumbling for 3 weeks. But then God sent Michael, he big angel in charge, he sent Michael down to give a brother some help. And when he sent Michael down, now, if God had to call Michael, that means the demons were rough. So he has to call Michael. Michael and Gabriel double team the dude, get him out of the way so that he could deliver the blessing. Now, here's why you got to keep praying. Don't keep praying to get God to answer. If it's based on his word and grace has already provided everything you're supposed to get, you don't keep praying to get God the answer. You are now praying for God to intervene to keep Satan from blocking the answer he's already given. So now you're praying in faith. When you pray according to God's word and you're calling on God according to his word, you don't have to ask him over and over and over and over again for the same thing. If it's according to his word, once you ask him sincerely, the rest of your prayers are thank you for answering, thank you for answering, thank you for answering, because you already answered the day I delivered it. And the reason I got a delay is there's stuff going on in the spiritual world that's giving me my delay. It's not that God has an answer. God is good on his word. He's good on his promises. He can be depended upon. So you keep praying because you're trying to break through the delivery that was already granted. And that's why you can spend time giving thanks, because God answers when you ask based on his word. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. This will make you want to pray. He says back in Ephesians, let me wind this up. He says back in Ephesians, all prayer, all time, all perseverance. And look at what he says. He says in verse 18, he says, here's what I want you to do. With this in view, be on alert. Be on alert. Translation, pray with your eyes open. Okay? Keep your eyes open. That's what it means. Do you know most prayers in the Bible are not with eyes closed? We do that to kind of concentrate or to show reverence. But most of the time when people pray, the Bible says, and they lifted their eyes. Okay? Eyes were open. Okay? He says, keep your eyes open. What are you keeping your eyes open for? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Keep your eyes open. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He says, the devil is trying to eat you up like a roaring lion. But a lot of people don't know when lions roar. Lions don't roar when they're coming up on their prey. They don't roar then. Lions roar after they get their prey. It's when they get you, they roar. In other words, it's their declaration of victory. They roar after the fact, not before the fact. You have to be on alert because they creeping up on you until they pounce on you. After they pounce on you and devour you, they roar because of the victory. He says, keep your eyes open when you pray. Because when you're calling down heaven, hell wants to block that. So keep your eyes open, that is spiritually open, to see what's going on around you. Because when you are talking to heaven, hell wants to block that. That is why so many times when you're trying to pray, distractions show up. So many times when you're trying to pray, you're sleepy. So many times when you're trying to pray, something pops up, because the lion does not want you to interfere with his trying to block the answer from getting to you. And that's why you got to pray with your eyes open, because when you talk to heaven, your prayer giving heaven permission is so powerful that the enemy does not want that prayer to go through. And so he's going to try to distract you from praying. He's going to try to dilute you from praying. He's going to cause something to come up to interfere with your prayer. You thought that was just chance or luck or distraction. No, it wasn't. It was a lion trying to keep you from being able to get a breakthrough that you've been looking for so long, that was already approved in heaven a long time ago. Two men heard that they were giving $5,000 bounties for capturing or killing wolves. $5,000 per wolf. Boy, let's become bounty hunters for these wolves. So he and his friend decided to become bounty hunters. One day they woke up in the middle of the night and they were surrounded by 50 pairs of wolves, all with teeth glittering, ravenous wolves, hungry. He woke up his other guy. He said, John, we're rich. See, you got to have the right perspective. You got to have the right perspective. If the enemy is trying to distract your prayer, that's good news. That's good news. That's good news. He's trying to distract your prayer, because that means that it's already been approved. It's already on the way. And hell doesn't want you to get it, because he wants to keep you from making contact with God. Somebody ought to be ready to talk to God. Somebody ought to be ready to find out what God has to say and throw it back up in his face, because a lot of the stuff you're asking for has already been pre-approved. It's just that in the spiritual realm, there is the attempt to block it. But if you will persevere at the Kairos time and specifically throw it back in God's face, he'll send the help needed to break it through so that you see it revealed in the physical realm.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up his series on the armor of God. And don't forget, today's your last chance to get all 8 CDs in this collection, along with the empowering book I mentioned earlier, Warfare. We'll send you both with our thanks when you make a contribution toward Tony's ministry here on the radio, on television, through resources, and with church leaders all around the world. Again, contact us before the day's out at tonyevans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are available around the clock to assist you. That's 1-800-800-3222. A lot of Christians are under attack by an enemy they don't even think is real. Well, Dr. Evans addresses that misconception next week as he uncovers Satan's first lie. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.